It's very interesting.
No, it's 1962, son.
Yeah.
The fun's about to start.
No, get ready for it. Welcome to Salem and Binks Present. Today, Ashley Kins, your Binks, is a little bit sick. So me, your Salem, Nina, I am going to do my best to keep some energy afloat, but just be aware, this is going to be a very chill episode. We're going to talk 4th of July, and we're very excited about the movie that we decided to watch this time around, but it's very chill. There is not too much to be said, so this will be a shorter and more relaxing episode.
Yay! Salem, what movie are we watching to kick off summer?
We are watching The Sandlot! Yeah. Woo! That's the amount of energy you're getting today, guys.
I need a nap now.
Yeah. Ashley's going to go to bed. This is the first episode of our show that is actually a direct request from a fan / friend, my girl Lily. How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, girl. Thank you for requesting this. We had a couple other movies in mind for 4th of July, but since this was requested, we thought, why not just go with it? Have fun. It's a classic. It's a favorite. Mm-hmm. It is summer.
Yeah. It gets you in the mood for summer for sure.
Yeah.
Even sick, I just want to run around a baseball diamond.
Oh, man. And it's starting to get hot. You know, and you watch this movie, you're feeling the summer heat. You're like, oh, there it is. There it is.
Well, I grew up watching this movie. Like, I watched this movie. I can quote this movie to this day. Probably word for word.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I got like my cousins, my niece and my nephew, Alex and Whitney. Hey, we all watched this movie. We wanted PF flyers, and we would play baseball like similar to this in like our neighborhood, and we would just gather up the neighborhood kids, and we would all play baseball like that. And it just like watching this again, like just brought back such like good memories.
Oh. That makes my heart grow. That's sweet.
Yeah, I love it. It's one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah. It's a classic. I think for me, I definitely grew up watching it. I think I was just slightly late to the game on it. Like, I feel like other people had seen it since they were like 2, and I think I'd seen it since I was like 9, 8 or 9, something like that. But it's still, even at that age, very much spoke to me. I grew up playing with kids on the block, playing out in the street in the sun, you know, not on our phones and tablets like a lot of kids these days. But
Kids these days.
But yeah, I loved this movie growing up. And as someone with a big brother, you know, all of his friends would love this movie. And it reminded me of kind of just hanging out with them and playing outside, enjoying our carefree summertime, no school. And just all the adventures that kids kind of have.
A simpler time, yes. For sure.
It's a very simple movie.
It was shot in 42 days.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't get better than that.
And what's the number one rule in Hollywood? Never work with animals and never work with kids.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This movie has both of those things, like front and center.
And they did it so well, you know? It's kind of... It reminds me a little bit of, like, The Little Rascals in a good way, you know. It's like, I always feel like the 90s was a prime, and I know I'm biased. It really was the time that had the best kids entertainment. And it was done that way on purpose. I mean, I think in cinema as well, but especially in children's television, it was the first era where they started to really pay attention to what the kids are watching. If they're going to be sitting in front of that television, we got to make sure they're watching something that's not only, you know, entertaining and exciting and interesting, but educational, informative. And I think coming of age stories and movies became better because of that. I think just the entire genre of family film became better.
I find that child movies that really stand the test of time are ones that I can still watch as an adult and enjoy.
Yes.
And I imagine as a filmmaker, like if you're going to be making a film for kids, you're keeping the parents in mind.
Yes.
Like we saw Secret Life of Pets 2 recently.
Uh-huh.
And I would say about 80% of it was enjoyable, but the other 20% was just like, ooh. It was like very much like too. Yeah.
They have
too, yeah, too kitty.
Yeah. I felt like that with Toy Story 4, but not quite that bad. I think Pixar especially does a great job. Oh,
they do such a good job.
Because they know. They know.
Yeah, they know their audience.
Yeah, you are, so much of their audience is the parent paying to see that movie, and they make it hilarious start to finish. I mean, Patrick and I, we took his little cousins to see it, and I think we were laughing more than they were. It's like, there were references that they just wouldn't have understood that were, you know, just references to old movies or other pop culture things they just wouldn't have understood. And it's one of those things, you know, okay, they're purposely putting that in there.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? You were a kid when the first one came out, and now you're an adult.
I know.
There's people who were kids when this movie came out, and now they're taking their kids.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going on right now.
Yeah.
Disney knows that. They know that our generation's a really nostalgic generation, and rather than looking for something super new, we like to turn back to things that we already love.
Is that why Aladdin's coming out? Lion King's coming out? Godzilla's coming out?
I mean, bless like, Disney's it's just, heart. They don't have to work for shit. They're just like, oh, turn that thing that we did up 20 years ago. Yeah, do that again.
Add some CGI. We're good.
Yeah. I know. I love how, like, the Jungle Book came out, and they're like, oh, it's live action Jungle. It's like, it's not live action. It's just not. I'm sorry, but did you make the animals speak? No? Okay, then it's not live action. Unless you film that shit, like, Homeward Bound, come talk to me. But no. Other than that.
Real orangutans aren't doing Kickball Chain. This is...
Exactly. Since Ashley Kins is not feeling it today...
I'm sick.
She's hashtag over it. I'm going to do the honors and do the B.O.B. for her. And next time, she will do it for me.
Tap dancing.
Oh, man. I found one that was like the white. Remember the white cover?
Yes.
Yeah. The squishy.
We had that one. Yeah.
The squishy VHS covers.
Yes.
All right, guys. Here is the B.O.B. for The Sandlot. It's the early 1960s, and fifth grader Scotty Smalls, Tom Query, has just moved into town with his folks, Karen Allen and Dennis Leary. Kids call him a dork. He can't even throw a baseball. But that changes when the leader of the neighborhood gang recruits him to play on the nearby sandlot field. It's the beginning of a magical summer of baseball, wild adventures, first kisses, and fearsome confrontations with the dreaded beast and its owner, James Earl Jones, who live behind the left field fence. Soon, nine boys have become best friends. Scotty is part of a team, and their leader has become a local legend in this hilarious and warm-hearted comedy. Rated PG. The quote on the back. A rush of memories and laughs with every crack of the bat. A+.
Wow.
That's crack of the bat.
Wow.
Oh. I want some peanuts and beer and take me to the ball game. I don't think kids can't have beer. So,
no. How about some bubblegum and soda pop?
Yeah, there we go. Take me to the five and dime, y'all. But the back is cute. It's got a picture of the boys. Does not have a picture of Scotty Smalls, though. The one in particular I'm looking at has a picture of Squints, a boy with glasses, and Hercules the dog, who, of course, is the beast. I just realized I was very confused when it said first kisses, and it's the Wendy Peppercorn moment.
Yeah. The moment.
The moment that I, for some reason, wasn't thinking of. We'll get there. The film really opens with Scotty Smalls as an adult. This is the bookend that we see in the beginning. We're going to see it in the end. Oh, David Mickey Evans? The director is the writer and also narrated the film, which is cool. But he's not who, like, physically is the part of...
He's not
adult Smalls. Yeah. Shows up at work, Dodger Stadium, gets into his office, the booth, and his narration sort of begins, and it takes us back into what brought him into baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we...
Well, we get that really cool pan shot to, like, all of, like, these famous baseball players.
Yes.
And then it's pans to the pictures of the boys on the sandlot.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, here we go.
Yeah. And it's kind of just that shot sort of reminds you of what is said later about heroes and legends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just because some kids on the sandlot are kids on the sandlot doesn't mean they're not equal to the legendary baseball playing that happens in professional stadiums.
Word.
Yeah.
Word.
It's important as a kid to know that.
So our protagonist, Scotty Smalls, he's the new kid in town.
It's almost like the beginning of an Are You Afraid of the Dark episode.
Yeah. And just immediately you already feel sorry for him. He's in his room. He's playing with Tinker Toys.
Total Tinker Toys. Everywhere Tinker Toys.
Yeah. And it's the first day of summer. And his mom's concerned. And his new stepdad is like, what is he? He's like a sports like reporter. He's like a sports, like, commentator.
He's
like
a busy stepdad.
Yeah. He's like, involved in sports. He's, yeah. He's cool.
Yeah. He's cool. Super cool. I mean, he's Dennis Leary, first off.
Yeah.
So, and it's just the cliche thing of, like, if he'd only taken 2 seconds to explain to Scotty Smalls an ounce of what he knows about sports, maybe Scotty Smalls wouldn't be quite the little square that he is.
He wouldn't be a little bitch.
Yeah, yeah. He wouldn't be a little bitch, Scotty Smalls.
Well, and then he teaches him how to play catch, remember? Oh, can you teach me how to play catch?
It was precious. It was a precious, sad, cringe moment. It's like the first moment where you're just like, oh, no. Oh, yeah. Smalls. There's a lot of moments where you just go, oh, Smalls, no. Yeah. No, baby, yeah. No.
I played softball for years. And I remember when everyone's in that position when you're first playing catch. And you, like, dodge the ball, yeah. You know? So that was particularly, like,
and
I got that.
The best part is that it's not only, like, he couldn't catch the ball. He didn't even bother to try and throw it when he did go get it.
Yeah.
He took it back and he walked it over to Dennis Leary and placed it gently in his mitt and then went back to his little position and said, okay, I'm ready to go. Dennis Leary's face.
Yeah, that's... That's, I think, the ideal, like, what you would imagine a stepfather and, like, stepson would be.
They capture, just that scene captures their relationship perfectly.
Yeah, and such a solid character development.
I actually like the scene where his mom sort of begs him to get in trouble.
That's sweet.
Yeah. She's kind of like, you really need to step outside. You need to play. You need to... You know, you don't have to impress me with Tinker Toys. I know you're smart. Like, I want you to go make friends.
Get in trouble, but not too much trouble.
Yeah.
But some trouble's fine.
I thought that was a very real mom moment. A very sweet little moment.
Because it must suck to, like, see your kid, like, not have friends.
Yeah. Because you always want the best for them. Yeah. And you want them to be happy. And
even and if you just moved to the valley, so
it's like, you got to get social.
Yeah.
Before he gets asked to be at the sandlot, he kind of just, like, follows the kids around on the neighborhood.
He has them, like, the ball gets, like, thrown to him. And,
yeah.
Or not thrown to him. It's, like, it ends up near him, and he, like, doesn't know how to, like, throw it back. And it's embarrassing, and he runs off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Benny sees that. And this is what I loved, Benny, because he was, not only was he athletic, he was sweet, too.
He was so sweet. Oh, my gosh. He really is the star of this movie, if you want to judge by who's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Like, any other kid is kind of shitty. Like, kids are just kind of shitty to each other. And they're kind of like, oh, that kid's a square, he's a jerk. Like, they'll judge people right off the bat. And I think Benny, he seemed already like maybe the oldest anyway, but I think he is the
definitely the wisest.
Definitely. And he saw that this kid, Scotty Smalls, is super lonely and super bored. And
he needed this. He needed that friendship. And I love how he says, here, you don't have a hat? Take my hat.
Yeah.
And your hat, do you have a fireplace? Throw it in there. It's just like... Yes, that's a friend.
That's a
good friend.
But did you notice that in the very, very end, old Scotty Smalls is wearing that hat?
That hat?
That fish
hat.
No
way.
Yeah, it's like a Fisher hat. It's got like a little fish, like tackle thing
on it. Oh my
God,
yeah.
And that's why it has that giant bill. It like looks ridiculous. And he was wearing it.
Oh my God. Guys, you can't see this at home right now, but I just flipped the table because I am so shocked. I did not. I've watched this movie. This is probably the most watched movie I've ever.
The only reason I noticed it is because
it's so fucking ugly.
They have what? It's so fucking ugly. And they had one close up of that, and then they panned down to him when he was doing the commentary for the game. And I was like, that's the fucking hat. That's the same ugly ass hat. So he. So it's kind of interesting because it's like, hey, burn that thing you had, but like, hey, we also accept you for who you are. Like, yeah. Don't lose a part of who you are, even if it's fucking stupid. Just,
hey, don't wear that hat until they start accepting you. Yeah. Like how I accepted you. Yeah. I can only do so much here.
Yeah. Oh, God. Seriously. So true.
You know, I think what makes this movie so memorable and why so many people, I think it's the how different each of the characters are.
Yes.
I was reading a script for work recently. And it just sucks because I feel like all the female characters in this script were all written the same. Mm-hmm. And it's just like,
same voice.
Like, yeah, same voice, same problems. Like they, you know, in this movie, there's such distinction. And it's just like, I think that's so cool. And I really don't see that.
Yeah, everybody can relate to this group of kids. They're all a little bit different, but they're little misfits in the way that I think most people can understand. So there's Scotty Smalls, Benny the Jet Rodriguez, Hamilton Porter, who they call Ham, Michael Palidorus, who they call Squints because of his big old glasses, Alan Yaya McLennan, they call him Yaya, because he says Yaya all the time. He's just Kenny. Did not get a nickname. Kenny de Nunez, nonetheless. And then there's Bertram. You just know, like, this is another thing I love about this movie. Like, not only as an adult do you just know, like, that's the one. That's the one in the group that's gonna, like, he's gonna do some shady, weird shit in the future. Like, you just knew. And as a kid, you just knew. And then in the end, they just tell you that's what ended up being of him. Like, how real is that? They could have made him something. They could have made him, anything.
Well, but that's so, and don't forget Timmy and Tommy Timmons.
Timmy and Tom and Timmons.
The creators of the mini mall.
I know.
It just is so perfect.
I liked them too. I feel like they're a little underrated. Especially like it's funny that the little one really repeats everything the other one says.
Yeah.
So they call him Repeat because he always repeats stuff. Repeat. It's so cute.
Well, Benny the Jet Rodriguez, childhood crush.
Here, I think I'm everybody's here crush. I personally did not totally have a crush on him because he looked a lot like my brother. And I kind of had a crush on Scotty Smalls.
That makes a lot of sense.
I kind
of
like him white and nerdy, so. I mean, it's just how it is.
Well, the director brought those two together a couple weeks before they actually started shooting because he wanted them to have that bond. And
that's great.
I mean, all those kids went through, like, basically, like, baseball training because they're actors. But they needed to learn how to play.
And make it look like they've been doing it for every summer of their life. And whenever school's out, that's what they do.
That's how you direct kids.
Yeah.
Like, and to get solid performances. So it's not this, you know, cringeworthy, like, obviously stunt double. Like, they're actually, like, playing,
which is pretty cool. I think that's another little side note I like to just say. As an adult, especially someone who, like, knows film, and you know, but I think seeing those scenes where they shoot the kids actually playing, I actually can have more of an appreciation for now that I'm older.
Yeah.
Whereas a kid, I was like, okay, let's get to, like, the story. You know, I was not that sporty. I liked to pretend I was, but little drama geek Nina, surprise, surprise, not coordinated.
Who was your favorite?
Oh, man. I mean, I know.
Other than Smalls, like, Benny's my favorite, but who's, like, runner-up?
I think, for me, I loved Ham. I thought he was the – I always like the funny guy. That's just my thing. I love the funny person in any group. He was just a jokester. But you know what I loved about him is, like, he had a confidence to him. You know, he might have been the chubby kid and they made fun of, you know, the bullies that came by made fun of him, but he's the
confident
one. He threw his bat down and was like, I'm facing these guys today.
Yeah.
Like, I lived for that. I thought that was amazing.
When he's shit talking, like, the catcher, I lived for that.
That hilarious exchange, like, is written so well because it's obviously all kid talk. And I really do mean it. Like, it's the kind of insults you hear little boys in the back seat. They're just like, well, you're a poop face. I mean, it's just vulgar, gross. Like,
is that your mom out in left field?
Yeah.
Naked?
Like, it's your sister? Like, you think she'd go out with me?
Yeah. It's so funny. And he delivers it so well.
I think, honestly, I think everyone in this movie is actually a pretty good actor for, like, children actors. But I think Ham was always the best.
Yeah.
By far.
He was pretty. Ham was a good one. I don't know why I didn't think of him first. I was going to say Squints.
Well, I think Squints is everybody else's favorite.
Yeah.
And I think he's good.
All his basic bitches.
All the basic hoes, like Squints.
But when he's telling the
story. Because he assaults a woman.
No. Wow.
He did. And he's racist against Mr. Myrtle. Just saying.
He's a great storyteller.
I do want to talk about Squints. Because
Squints was great. And his love, Wendy Peppercorn.
I think that whole thing is hilarious. And the only reason it can work today still, because I do think some people will look back and go, he kissed her and she was not consensual to that kiss. I think because he's a straight up, he's a kid.
Yeah.
And he's little. Oh, yeah. There is nothing, like, no real harm he could really do. That's still violating, but.
Yeah.
I think it was just so innocent enough. And she saw that.
Yeah.
And so I think it held up well, which is funny. But I do think it's hilarious that he tells the story of the Beast and paints Mr. Myrtle as this horrible person.
Yeah.
And then when Scotty's like, well, why don't we just go to the door and knock on it and ask and see if he can get the ball for us? The first person to be like, hell fucking no, we're not doing that is Squints. And he just has it in his head that man is just bad.
Well, yeah. And the way he, remember the camp out they had, and he tells the story.
Oh,
and
God, it's so good.
Forever.
We'll get there. When Smalls does finally kind of get accepted into the gang. One of the things that Ham starts joking about right off the bat is the great Bambino.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't tell him much. He just says, the great Bambino. How do you not know who that is? And of course, being an outsider, he just pretends that he knows, which is, I think, very relatable. We've all sort of been there where we're not really sure what someone's talking about, but we don't want to look out of the loop. My favorite, though, is that he goes home that night and makes a list. He writes baseball stuff to remember, and, like, that's the list. So even from day one, there's a lot of hints dropped about something very monstrous and scary behind the fence of the sandlot where they play ball. It's, like, four or five times we have suspense regarding that whole area. And while they're playing, a baseball flies over the fence. Scotty Smalls is like, I got you guys. I'm going to go get it. Don't worry about it. And they're like, you don't understand. No ball comes back once it's over that fence. And they decide to explain why when they have a camp out.
Yay.
In an awesome ass treehouse. Did you ever do a camp out in a treehouse?
We definitely camped in our backyard, like, and then the sprinklers were turned on at night, and it was like, oh, it's raining.
Oh, my God. That's fun, actually.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I love when Ham teaches them how to, like, make a s'more.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a classic moment. Every time I make a s'more, I think about that scene.
Yeah. You place the mallow. he's helpful, but a little condescending, but, like, come on. And that's when he says the famous line, you're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah.
It doesn't get better than that. Essentially, Squints is like, I'm going to be the one to tell you the story about the monstrous dog, a.k.a. the Beast, that is behind the horrible, scary fence. Because his grandfather was, like, the police chief at the time that this, you know, legend essentially supposedly took place. Long story short, the Beast started out as a junkyard dog, was so good at being a junkyard dog, he just eat everybody that came into the junkyard because he was just a beast.
They basically had to retire him.
He had to retire him. He was just such a good
junkyard dog. He was so good.
He was such a good boy. Really.
Yeah.
He just did what he was told.
They were killing all the thieves.
Yeah. So. And in the way that they have this reenactment, if you haven't seen the movie, it's just great. It's black and white. It's cartoonish level. Essentially, it's like extremely over the top. It's a laugh. It's totally ridiculous. They even have, when they show the beast, the dog, it's like a giant size. It's like Clifford level huge version of this dog. Like paws as big as a coffee table. Like, it's absurd. And they just wrap it up by reiterating to Smalls, like, just so you know, that is why we do not go over there and get a baseball. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
And again, it being like kids telling these big stories that are so clearly fiction, it's just kind of that thing that you accept as a kid and you sort of believe. Mm-hmm. And then coming of age, you know, you sort of realize, yeah, that was all exaggerated.
Yeah.
Entirely.
So it's a super hot day, too hot to play baseball. The boys decide they're going to go down to the community pool. We love a community pool, don't we, Nina?
Oh, it's our favorite thing ever.
Give me that swimming cap.
Yes. Oh, floaties.
And there, the lifeguard is Wendy Peppercorn, beautiful blonde that Squints absolutely adores.
Oh, yeah. And how old is Wendy supposed to be?
I think she's supposed to be like 16, and they're like 12, 13.
Well, I mean, on the back of the box it says that Scotty Smalls is a fifth grader, which I just didn't ever know that. I thought he was like 12 or something.
Aren't you 12 in fifth grade?
No, you're 10.
No.
Yeah, you're 10. I was 10, and I'm always the right age per grade because I have a summer birthday, said the proud Leo.
Wow. No, that, I'm sorry, back of box, but you're wrong.
You're wrong. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And I read that shit, I was like, no.
That was some guy who wanted to get out early on a Friday. It's like, I don't know. like
he's a kid, fifth grader.
Yeah, but she's teen.
I think, yeah, she's probably 15.
Every time Wendy Peppercorn is on screen, a song by the Drifters plays.
It's just great. So,
like this magic moment.
Yeah, it's just perfect.
Yeah.
It gets you in the feel of that time and, like, the romance and the charm of that time.
Oh, yeah. Remember crushes when you're a kid? It's just, like, it's so over the top. Yeah. Like, I will die for you.
Yeah, it totally is. I mean, I'm not just saying this, but I think a lot of girls out there can relate to Helga G. Pataki. Let's be real. Like, the crushes are a legit thing. I read, too, that it was so hot when they were filming and like, any single day, but the pool scene day happened to be the one cold day, and the water happened to be really cold. So you could see them shivering.
Yeah,
but
that wasn't like, acting.
Yeah.
Oh, they shot the film in Utah, which I've been to Utah in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a dry heat, like 110 degrees, like Vegas hot. It's just, like, there's no escaping it.
I feel like California, I feel like if you wanted to depict California in the 60s, you could film in Utah in the 90s. Like,
yeah,
that makes sense to me. If that does that make sense?
Yeah, they're about 30 years behind us.
Plus, like, unfortunately in California we develop so much too fast all the time that it is harder to find places a little untouched.
Oh, preach, sister.
Said the girl from Orange County.
Works
we used to be a bunch of orange fields. When the boys in the pool are watching Wendy, and the dialogue, he says something like, she don't know what she's doing. Yeah, she does. She knows exactly what she's doing. There's apparently like a similar exchange in Cool Hand Luke, which is kind of...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, which came out in 1967. So it was like later, you know, it wasn't like something they got that they would have gotten from a movie. But
That's funny because when... Wendy Peppercorn goes, and stay out. That's like from the Three Stooges.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So Squints makes it very clear that he wants to make his move. And so how does he do that? He decides to get up on the diving board and he jumps. And the boys can't believe, like, what's going on.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, like, hits everyone that that's the deep end and he can't swim.
And he's, like, this puny little kid, giant glasses.
Yeah.
Bless his heart. There's no way he's going to make it out of this unless, of course...
divine intervention.
Exactly. So, thank God Wendy Peppercorn jumps right into the water to save him because she's a champ.
Mouth to mouth, of course.
Gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta save this child.
The director, David Mickey Evans, had one clear instruction for the actor that played Squints, and he was just like, keep your tongue in your mouth during the kissing scene. It was just, but like everything else, just,
yeah. That's good to know.
Yeah.
That's just good information. Thank God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love it. It's just that ridiculous smile. She's giving him mouth to mouth. She's back and forth. And then he looks at the boys with this little
gotcha
smile. You want to slap him. They're in disbelief. Like, the ball's on this kid. Like, it's like, and she loses it, of course, bans him from the pool. But I liked that, again, they reiterated over and over that what he did was desperate. It was low.
Yeah.
It was bad. Like, you don't do that. You know, they didn't say to kids that this is okay.
Yeah.
They said this was ridiculous. But I liked that they also made Wendy a good sport about it. She was very upset, but they said she always looked down on her tower and would smile at him every time. That was pretty precious.
And then at the end of the movie, they end up getting married.
I know.
He buys the drugstore and they have like 10 kids.
It's precious. It's just like, because he's the lover, you know?
Yeah.
All these different archetypes are in this group. You got the fighter. You got the, you know, like Ham's the fighter. You know, he wants to, he's facing that bully. He later becomes a wrestler, and they say in the epilogue. Yeah,
the great Ham Bino.
Yeah. So, you know, you got all these different, types of kids, and I think again that's where that balance really works well and keeps it entertaining.
And then the 4th of July.
The 4th of July scene. This is what makes this movie a 4th of July movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I think generally it's a summer movie.
Oh yeah.
You have this whole 4th of July scene that I think is Americana. I think it's touching, it's charming. I think any American kid would love it, would get it, appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
The music is great.
Yeah.
The fireworks are magical. And who hasn't had, like, a great block party on 4th of July where everyone's just out? Like, it's just summer. Mm-hmm. It's hot. Kids are playing.
There's hot dogs.
Hamburgers.
Potato salad someone stuck their finger in that you're not going to try, but you're going to put it on your plate because you want to make a good impression.
Exactly. Some white person always brings ambrosia salad, whatever that is.
Oh my God.
Yeah, just indulge in whatever that shit is.
Yeah.
It's great.
And Small makes a really good observation that all the kids, because they go to the sandlot because it's the only time they can play at night. And all the kids are...
because the fireworks are bright enough.
Yeah, and all the kids are looking at the fireworks. But Benny's like, and this is where Small realizes, this is not just a game to him. This is like his passion is baseball. I just thought that was really cool. And then, of course, at the end when you see Benny the Jet Rodriguez, you know, playing for the Dodgers, it just comes full circle, like back to that moment. Like,
And I definitely can see why Lily and many other people would suggest this as a 4th of July movie, just for that scene alone. Yeah.
So these rich kids who are actually on a baseball league.
They have the uniforms. They have the uniforms,
the cool, the matching uniforms, the matching shoes.
They play on a diamond. They do not play on a sandlot. Yes,
they have a chain link fence.
Yeah.
Matching baseball bags, which when I played softball, that was always like a thing you would look out for. Like, oh, all their bags match. Like, shit.
Yeah. Oh.
We would all be sharing a bat. Like,
Oh, man. This is where it kind of plays into like the socioeconomic differences.
Boys from the valley versus boys from the, I don't know,
wherever.
Yeah, there's a little showdown, and then like one of my favorite lines that like I always say, it's like, you play ball like a girl.
Yeah.
And that is like the ultimate diss.
Yeah, that's the biggest insult out of all the mean things they say to each other. that's the one that's like, all right, we're going to challenge each other. Showdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still love this movie.
It's great.
And I play ball like a girl.
Me too. And yeah. I'm proud.
Yeah. Nina, but you keep that bench warm for us, okay?
That's what I do. I'm glad. Are you kidding me? I'm the person who's in the dugout cheering for both teams. I don't give a shit. No, you know what I used to actually do? Like, not even kidding. Like, in PE, and this was not even just as a kid. This is, like, in high school, too. It was, like, they'd, like, be playing ball. And you know when the teams switch and they go, one goes in the dugout and then one goes out in the field? Like, they just wouldn't even tell me. At a certain point, they just stopped telling me. They're just like, she's out in the outfield, distracted as hell, talking to so-and-so, making jokes, doing impressions. Like, just, she's not really playing. Just let her have fun out there. Goofing around.
Just, like, left field, like, second backup.
Yeah.
I'm the understudy for left field.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so they win the game against the rich white kids from across town. And what do, Nina?
They head to a carnival and they're excited, getting ready to go on rides. And Bertram, the one that you know would do this, has chewing tobacco with him. And he's like, let's get lit. Let's all have some like the pros do, because that's what professional baseball players
and kids look up to their heroes.
They do look up to their heroes, and they and don't do drugs, kids.
Don't do drugs, but check us out on Instagram for our drinking games.
Yeah, 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 definitely drink, but it's a thing. It's a thing, and of course, bless their hearts, they take all this chewing tobacco. And they're, like, going hard.
Yeah, they go on the tilt-a-hurl, the tilt-a-whirl.
It's exactly what it becomes. Yeah. So they're on there. And the greatest part of this whole scene is the music choice.
Yes.
Tequila. And they hurl like crazy. They just, they toss it everywhere, man. No joke. People are running off the ride covered in puke. And so are they. And
the acting in this scene is so good. Those close-up on those kids.
Oh, my God.
It's just like they're super happy. Like, the ride's about to start. And then, like, just slowly they're like,
well, they probably did feel pretty shit. Because, you know, take a couple takes riding that ride several times. And then I know, like, what they used was, like, licorice and
beef jerky.
Like, how nasty is that? Look, I'd be making that face, too.
Yeah. It's Utah. It's 100 degrees at midnight.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. Yeah. No, I'm making that face. I'm hurling myself.
So after that night, they swore off the hard stuff forever.
Who says that? They swore off the hard stuff. Aww. And then things take a turn. This is where the plot super thickens. I think everything before this was like, here's the charming moments of this summer that are very memorable. And now it's like, oh, we're in, quote, the biggest pickle
ever. Yeah. Well, he teases it the whole time. He's like, the biggest mistake I've ever made.
Yeah. We're like, well, what is it? Like, Mr. A-plus Tinker Toys, I want to know what it is that's the biggest pickle you've ever been in. They're at the Sandlot doing their thing. Benny hits the ball so great that the ball, like, rips apart.
Yeah.
With the force of Benny's batting. Like, how cool is that? And they're excited, but they're also kind of bummed because they're like, well, now we can't even play because none of us have money to go get a ball. And Smalls, trying to impress still, says, hey, oh, wait, I know I have a ball. My stepdad has one. It's like on some shelf. I'll go get it. He goes home. It's on a shelf with tons of trophies. Like, you know, okay, this is bad. And also, fun fact, you've seen the ball before. And you saw that it had the name Babe Ruth signed on the ball. But again, Scotty Smalls, he just doesn't know. He doesn't put two and two together. For someone who's good at Tinker Toys, he doesn't know how to put two things together, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Bless his heart. So he just grabs it, runs. They play. He hits his first homer because good for Smalls. But it goes over the fence where the beast dwells.
Nina.
Yes.
Do you know how much a Babe Ruth autographed baseball goes for?
Holy shit, I don't know.
$49,000.
I wish I had
$49,000.
You know what? I really do wish I had one.
I'm actually just found this on eBay. I don't even know if it's like an actual, like,
well, I feel like even this movie makes it even more, like, desirable. you know?
Yeah. You know what? I think this movie made Babe Ruth famous.
He was shit before this movie. We all know that. Nobody really knew who he was.
By the end of the 30s, he was no one.
The war had happened and everything was over. Tons of baseball.
Shit's fucked up. And Smalls starts freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
And the other kids don't really know, like, what's... It's like, Smalls, like...
They're like, congrats,
third
bro.
Base is that way.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
I think it... Who says it's like... I guess the shock of his homer was just too much for him.
Yeah,
like
I think Bertram says that. Yeah, so good. And he just starts totally having a meltdown. They're very confused. They don't understand. He explains, that wasn't my ball. It was my stepdad's. And it was like amongst some trophies and stuff. No, it was signed by somebody, baby Ruth somebody. And they're
like, Babe Ruth!
They lose it!
Yeah.
Again, he's still so out of the loop, bless his little heart. It's like, come on, buddy.
And he's like, Babe Ruth, the great Bambino. And he goes, oh my God, they're the same guy.
Yes. And he has all those different nicknames.
Yeah.
I love when Timmy and Tommy was like, the Colossus of Cloud. The Colossus of Cloud. I was like, why do you have to say it twice? But he repeats
the Sultan
everything.
Of sweat.
Yeah. Like, they attempt to get the ball many different times in many different ways. Everything from airlifting Yaya to...
Which is how he, at the end of the movie, he becomes a bungee jump instructor.
Yeah, of course. Like, perfect.
Yeah.
Not afraid of heights, which is amazing. Yeah, they do everything from that, you know, reaching sticks over the fence, everything. And then finally, they're like, we need science. And so Smalls takes all his Tinker Toys, puts it together to create like a catapult robot type thing that's going to get the ball and, you know, fling it over the fence. And I love how, like, they get it and they're about to get it and it's just, like, in the air and the beast, a
jumps
giant,
up.
Just jumps up and snatches it in the air. And they're, like, horrified. Like, the music is, like, horror. Like, it is scary. Like, they're so upset. So Benny has this dream and Babe Ruth visits him.
The spirit of Babe Ruth? Yes. The ghost of Babe Ruth?
Yes. Babe Ruth is there to comfort him in these trying times. Yeah, he just shows up in his room and he's like, hey, Benny, I hear you're in a pickle. He says something very important to him.
Heroes get remembered, but legends never die.
He looks at one of Benny's baseball cards and it has Hank Aaron on it. And Hank Aaron is a baseball player that later went on to break Babe Ruth's record. And he looks at the card and he goes, I don't know why, but can I have this? I just thought that was really cute.
Yeah, no, I really like that too. Years ago when I was watching this movie with my dad, he would love that part. I'm like, aww. You know, it was just like a sports dad kind of.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's great that there's those Easter eggs for like the people that really get sports and really know their stuff.
And then Benny decides he needs to pickle the beast. Do you know what pickle means, Nina?
I don't in that context. Okay. No, but I'm ready.
I can explain it to you.
Please do.
So at the end of the movie, this happens too. When someone's trying to like steal a base, let's say someone's at third base.
Uh-huh.
And they want to go home. It's a runner.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm the pitcher, and you're starting to go. I'm going to throw the ball to the home plate so they can throw it back to third base to, like, get you out.
Oh.
So you're throwing it back and forth to get you out. So it's like,
stop.
It's like someone's
I did not
in the
know
middle.
This.
Yeah, it's called playing pickle.
Which would explain why he says the biggest pickle
of
my life.
It's like, it's a double meaning there.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. I really didn't know that. Today I learned. That's really cool,
Featured
though.
Featured in this episode, Ashley teaches Nina baseball terms.
I know shit about sports, so I could always learn more. There is a lot of room for improvement, everyone.
Inspired by that, Benny decides he's going to face the beast.
Yes.
Oh, but first, he puts on brand new PF Flyers.
Yes,
they'll make you run faster and jump higher.
Fuck Converse.
Yeah.
PF Flyers, guys.
I want a pair of PF Flyers.
Well, I love my Converse, but yeah, after this movie, I mean, after this movie, whole movie is a commercial for PF Flyers. Yeah. Really. Benny hops over the fence. I mean, PF Flyers make you fly, baby. So he just goes right on over that fence and grabs that ball. There's this whole sequence that's very Western. I mean, it's straight out of a Clint Eastwood moment. I mean, you hear the whips, you hear the... He grabs the ball, he runs, and the beast's chain leash breaks, and he is just after him. So sure enough, the two are running through the neighborhood. There's a cool moment that's intercut where they are running and you're seeing also, like, I guess a community screening of Wolfman simultaneously happening, which is great. It's like this awesome iconic moment from, if you love horror movies or old school horror movies, like, you know that scene. It's great. There's this really neat thing that they do where it's like they're running and then they cut back to parts of that scene. They're running and they cut back to the scene. I think that might have been the... maybe trendy then. A juxtaposition.
At this point, the director had heat stroke, so
he was just like, just chop that shit any way you like, you know? The only reason it made me think of, like, maybe it was a little bit of a popular thing to do is, like, Harriet the Spy did that, if you remember. They kind of had... I feel like there are more. I just can't think of that. But anyway, all through the town. Then they even go, of course, through the screening, and the dog, the beast, who we later find out is named Hercules... leaps through, destroying the screen and everything. They go through, like, a, I guess it's like a Founders Day parade or picnic or fair or something. Yeah. And they're, like, running on the tables that people are eating on. This whole thing's wild. They knock over a cake.
Then he jumps over a cake.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah. Oh, that part was cool.
And then Ham is, like, because all the boys are chasing after them.
Of course.
And, like, Ham runs by and gets, like,
grabs a huge piece of frosting. Yeah. Bless his little chubby heart. So cute. And they finally, like, full circle, come all the way back to the Sandlot.
But he's jumping back over the fence.
Right.
And Hercules, the beast, like, bites his jersey. So there's this huge bite mark.
And once they're over the fence, after all the ruckus and, you know, disturbing of the fence, it falls down and crashes on the dog. I really feel like this is where this movie becomes, like, from a kid's kind of fun adventure movie to, like, coming of age moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you literally had a fence separating yourself from...
like, those, you know, those urban myths get passed down from, generation to generation. We all had one, right, growing up in our neighborhoods.
Now that fence is down, and there's a dog in need of help underneath it, and it's not...
Yeah.
It's not this beast. It's not this, like, big monstrous thing. There's a little bit of humanity, and of all the people, the first person to go to him is Smalls, which I just thought was precious.
Yeah.
So they all end up lifting the fence up together, saving the dog, and then they do go to Mr. Myrtle's front door, knock on it. It's James Earl Jones.
And it's Vader.
Like, it's fucking Vader, and he's super fucking cool and super sweet and nice. And
he's blind.
And he's blind, bless his heart. And he says, why didn't you guys just knock on my door in the first place? And then they, you know, they all kind of beat up Squints for that. Is Squints racist? I don't know, but maybe he was fed something wrong generationally.
Maybe he just doesn't like dogs. To the great relief of the boys, Mr. Myrtle was actually a famous baseball player. Or he played baseball, rather. Yeah. And he played baseball with Babe Ruth.
Yeah. And I think what's really cool, I kind of read, because some people like gave the movie criticism, like, oh, well, there were no professional black baseball players at like Babe Ruth's time, because like Jackie Robinson didn't come on the scene till later. But somebody had pointed out that like there were minor leagues and there were other leagues that obviously did have that, so he very well had played with black professional baseball players, which I think is great. And so they kind of like did a Photoshop of like James Earl Jones' face a little bit on a black player, and it, you know, it worked perfectly. Yeah. But I love that he ended up knowing Babe Ruth. Yeah. Like, what are the freaking odds?
And he, so he goes blind because he's hit in the head with a baseball.
Yeah.
While he's up to bat.
That's sad.
And and you know, that happened with Jackie Robinson. Like, the pitchers would purposefully, like, aim for him to hurt him, which imagine? Is awful.
That's disgusting. It's horrible.
And I thought it was really sweet. Like he gives Scotty his copy of a signed baseball filled with all the 1927 Yankees, like so baseball cool. players. And the sweetest thing is, in exchange, just come over, you know, once a week and talk baseball with me. It's just like,
and that's yeah. that right there again. Is like the coming of age yeah. thing. It's like, oh, there's a world beyond the little things we thought we knew. And yeah. some people can really be friendly. And,
yeah.
and you should be open to people and you shouldn't just assume things about them. And you can be friends with them.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
loved that. I yeah. thought that was
like what,
so sweet.
Like what Benny did with Scotty in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Extend
some wisdom.
Yeah.
It'll get passed
extend
on.
Some friendship and, you know, it yes. gets passed on.
Then the film sort of wraps up with this narration that kind of explains, you know, everything worked out. He came clean to his stepdad and said, look, I stole your ball. Here's kind of the story, but look what I got for you in return. And he really appreciated it. You can tell he yeah. appreciated, like, that he came to him and was honest. Yeah. And, like, I think, you know, then it became like they started bonding.
Yeah, and that's why he only grounded him for 2 weeks.
Yeah, like, which is pretty great. Yeah. You know, because you got to be punished somehow yeah. for that. So thank God Dennis Leary was cool. And then the real ending, the real epilogue that we've been mentioning, is this cool moment where they sort of show a shot of each of the guys. And it just says a sentence about where they ended up going in the future. So Ham became the great Hambino, a wrestler, which is perfect for him, obviously. Timmy and Tommy developed, what, tree houses and then
tree houses, and then they became multimillionaires when they came up with mini malls.
It's just, like, amazing.
Of course they would.
Yeah. And then Bertram, of course.
The 60s.
Yeah, got really into the 60s. And what did he say?
No one's ever really heard from him again.
Yeah.
Like,
kind of scary.
I imagine, what do you think he did? I imagine he like joined a cult or something a cult.
Yeah. Well, let's see. 62. He could have gone to Woodstock and then like.
Yeah. Just dropped
like,
a
took
ton
it too
of acid.
Seriously. Yeah. Like.
Yeah.
He probably ended up in like a shithole gutter somewhere. Like.
No. He's like living. He's like running his own like organic goat.
Oh,
farm
you went
or
like positive hippie.
Yeah.
I went like drugged out.
No,
like it's
a problem. Oh, he was definitely drugged out for a while. But yeah. then, you know, he met a girl and she's like, I have some goats.
Oh,
you wanna
yeah.
come back okay. to my goat farm? But
oh, okay. I like that.
He was like, sure, my brain's so fried, I don't know my name.
See, I thought it would be more like he straight up did drugs and is probably dead. Like, we like, never heard from him again. Like, he's probably dead. Like, I'm just saying. Like, don't do
Man,
drugs. Yeah,
don't do drugs. Don't do drugs.
Swear off the hard stuff.
Kenny, like, he was got pretty good at baseball. He joined the minor leagues,
yeah.
but never quite made it to the major leagues.
Which kind of
bummed
me the
like,
fuck
yeah.
out. I was like, what, you're going to give the black kid, like, not the full opportunity?
Fuck. And
fuck
then
you
it's
guys.
Like, but don't worry, kids. He coaches his son Little League's team, which I'm sure he's just super happy for Benny.
Yeah. Because. It's precious and it's sweet. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Becomes a bungee jump instructor and Squints marries Wendy Peppercorn and has 8 kids.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Like, that's some 8 or 9 kids. Like.
And I like how at the end, it's when people moved away, they didn't replace them. They just kept on going,
yeah.
playing the game.
Another cool thing that is said right from the start when Smalls kind of spies on them and sort of wants to be in the gang and isn't yet. He says he noticed that, yeah, they weren't really a full team. They never kept score, and they didn't time anything out. Like, it was just literally playing the elements of the game and not for any other reason.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I like to play because, obviously, I suck, so yeah. I don't yeah. like to keep score. But also, I'm just not competitive.
We all need losers.
No, yeah. just kidding. Somebody's got to make the sandwiches. I mean...
You'll bring the orange slices and the Capri Suns for us. Oh, and of yeah. course, the Beast lived to be 119 years old. Aww.
I know. Well, I guess I read that that was like, what, 28 years and people years?
So twice as long. As
that's like, yeah, twice as long as a normal dog. So that's amazing.
Well, good for him.
Remember Benny says, when they finally reveal to Scotty, like, who Babe Ruth was, And he realizes, oh shit, that's the same guy as the Great Bambino. He says, you know, Babe Ruth, is, like, his signature is worth more than your life. Like,
yeah,
he is less of a man, but not quite a god, like Hercules or something. And he, oh, so shit. He specifically yeah. says he's like Hercules or something. And then the dog ended up being named Hercules. And in the epilogue, he does say something like, we never knew why the dog happened to be named Hercules and why Benny just had happened to say that Babe Ruth was kind of like a Hercules of yeah. baseball.
I felt like that was like too much nailing it mm-hmm. for like the, you know.
You got to for the kids.
Did you catch my symbolism?
Yeah, yeah. they do that like, I mean, just all the precursors of what is the beast or what's behind that fence. Yeah, they hint at it like 7 times because it's for kids. They have to. But yeah, there's a lot of on the nose.
Yeah.
So the book ends. We started out seeing older Scotty Smalls show up to work at the Dodger Stadium, and now we cut back and it's during a game, the very end of a very exciting baseball game. And
God, you know nothing about sports.
I don't. Do you like my very general yeah. way? I think they call it bottom of the ninth, but I'm gonna say the end of an exciting baseball game. It is baseball, right? It's not soccer or football.
Oh God.
Gotta give me props for making it sound...
No, it was precious. It was precious. Continue.
Benny the Jet Rodriguez stepping out to do a hit.
Oh, man, I'm going to watch this crash and burn. Go for it.
He goes onto
You could tap me in if you need help.
I you know what? I got this, okay. Ashley. Okay. I can fucking talk baseball. You okay. just wait and watch. Benny steps out onto the plate.
Third base?
He's on third base. Yes. That would make more sense, yes. given the excitement. Okay. Yes. So Benny is on third base.
And he's...
There's three of them.
Going to run. Steal.
He's going to steal the Thunder.
Home.
Yes. He's going to steal home with Thunder. He's like Thor, which is also like Hercules. So there you go.
Back to baseball.
Thunder, back to baseball. So he's going to do that. And Scotty Smalls in the booth is like losing his shit. He's like, Benny the Jet Rodriguez is going to do the thing. And it's going to be exciting. And it's baseball. Yeah.
He's going to steal home.
He's going to steal home. Just like that.
Which is basically just not explaining this to Nina, but like just like anyone who's listening, Nina, stealing home when the pitcher's about to throw, you essentially have to get there before the ball does. So you wow. have to be fast.
He better have his PF flyers on.
God damn it.
Damn.
And Nina, what does he do?
I think he steals it.
He does.
He steals home.
He just runs right off with
it. He runs there, and then he gets there, and that's called stealing home, and he does it.
We did it, guys. Case closed.
I'm standing in the bleachers, and I'm cheering.
Nina did the baseball.
I did a baseball. Sports. I did one. Thanks, guys. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Oh, God.
It's great, thrilling ending.
That was great. And then they give each other a thumbs up.
They do. Benny the Jet Rodriguez.
I just gave you a thumbs up and you didn't.
Oh, give it to me. I'm so sorry.
God.
Let's go back. Let's do another thumbs up. Ashley's going to go ahead. Go ahead. Go. She got it.
Yeah.
Too bad y'all can't see that. Shit.
Oh.
Anyway, it's a great ending. They look at each other, they thumbs up, and we zoom back into the photo that started mm-hmm. it all. And the credits roll. And
God bless America.
God fucking bless America.
It's hot, but you know what? It's the beginning of summer.
Yes.
Enjoy summer.
Enjoy it. This is time to be playful, even if you're an adult and you have to go to work every day in the summer. Who cares? It's still a time for adventure.
Leave work.
Leave
Quit
work.
Your job.
Quit your job.
Join
and
a baseball
day drink
team.
With us while we do the drinking game.
Go gather up some neighborhood kids and play some baseball.
As a grown grown up. Just find other people's children. Get them on a sand lot that's obviously private property.
In the San Fernando Valley.
Yeah, it's just prime real estate somewhere sitting with nobody doing anything with it. So, you know, just find that spot. Gather those children. Get different, you know, sport stuff.
And call them by weird nicknames. Yes. And don't tell them why.
Yeah, don't tell them why. Just give them all weird nicknames for no reason. And, you know, just judge dogs. Just look at dogs and judge. Go, that one.
Mia and I, we love to judge dogs, don't we?
I love it.
Have a good summer, everyone.
Have a fantastic summer, everybody. Thank you guys so much.
You know what can make this summer even better, Nina?
What, girl?
A flu shot and some drinking games.
Yes! Ashley needs medical attention. Woo!
Get me an IV.
You kick it off.
Take a drink. Honestly, like, the thought of drinking alcohol right now is so repulsive, but I'm sure in like a week when I'm feeling better and it's the 4th of July.
Yes.
Take a drink when Scotty does something embarrassing with baseball. Like,
Yes.
Because you're going to need it.
You will. You really, yeah. Take a sip.
He doesn't know a player's name. Yeah. He can't throw.
He runs the ball back and puts it in people's gloves. Yeah, I mean, it's precious. He's precious. That's what he is. Oh, every time there's a new baseball to play with, take a sip.
Ooh, that's a good one. Take a drink every time a song by the Drifters plays.
Yes, girl.
Which is every time Wendy Peppercorn is on screen.
Oh, I put every time repeat repeats. So,
ooh, that's a good one.
You're sitting here like, Colossus a cloud, like twice when he does that, you gotta take a sip.
Take a sip every time Ham delivers an epic burn.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah, that's a great one. Once they get on the ride and they have tobacco in their mouths, you need to drink and just keep drinking until they get off that ride covered in barf.
You might throw up.
You probably will. That's the whole point. Take a shot when Babe Ruth says, "Heroes get remembered, but legends never die."
Every time Yaya says yeah, yeah.
Yeah! Yeah! That's too cute. I love it. Just in honor of Bertram, who might have been dead in a ditch somewhere, just take a shot when they tell you that he got into the 60s and was never seen again. Just take that shot. Take that shot
pour,
for that
pour
guy.
Pour one out for him.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to wrap things up here. Ashley's got to go home and take care of herself. My poor baby. But we want to say thank you guys so much for listening and for tuning in. Continue to do so. You guys, our fans, our friends, anyone who's listening, we appreciate you so much. And keep making requests, because this was a request today. Follow us on Instagram, Pinterest, and Facebook. And don't forget to visit the website. You can sign up for emails. You can also sign up to be a member, where you can comment on posts as well. Very easy and super fun to do. Shout out to Fiona, our producer. She's sleeping behind me. Shout out to my big brother and our big sponsor, Bijan Sharifi. Thank you for the equipment. So is he a ghost if he doesn't die?
He is a legend.
He is a legend. Which means he doesn't die. Is it better die, or is it better to just be remembered when you die? I don't know. I'm neither. So.
Let's haunt.
I really want to haunt.
Yeah.
Like a legit, like, bayou mansion. Like, I just want to dwell.
Yeah.
And scare people away. Especially, like, new kids on the block that show up.
I just want to not the new kids on the block.
No, of course. No. They are welcome to stay and have a julep with me, but everyone else... I'm going to haunt you away. You go away. Get. Go.